if we've got LeBron back in town, Bronny's back in town, although I don't know Bronny necessarily cares. I think it's part of the reason of moving to LA here. That might not be fair. Listen, the point is, we could see LeBron today. We could see Bronny for the first time.
Bunch of highlights Bronny? Of him. Yeah, a bunch of highlights of him, like watching dad on the court back in the day and running around when they held him up. And
aren't you anti-tribute video for almost anything?
I'm just asking if he qualifies.
Then I'm team tribute video.
I'm just
video
asking if he qualifies.
For
all.
Bronny James, that's where I'm at. And maybe throw in like a small one for LeBron there because it's been a minute since the last one. But to talk about
last year?
Yeah, I know. That's been a full year almost. Have some respect. But to talk about this all, we head out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. LeBron and Bronny and the Jameses weren't the only people we lost to L.A. several years ago. We lost this man as well. We have him back now, Dave McMenamin of ESPN. Dave, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, guys, and I always enjoy coming back to Cleveland.
Well, that's what people say when they get to leave. I'm kidding.
I was going to say, that sounds, I mean, I don't know
in fairness, not only did he get the nicer weather, he's also gotten married. Like, this man, you're living the life, Dave McMenamin, and you're not putting one past me, fella.
Hey, guys, it's been 6 years, you know, since I spent 4 years in Cleveland. So it's been a while, but it feels like yesterday. Actually, I was looking up an old quote of LeBron's from his first stint, game from the second stint with the Cavs. And it came to my attention. Today is 10 years to the day from LeBron restarting his time with the Cavs. Wow. After that season opener against the Knicks.
That is, you're slowly killing me, McMenamin. I mean, this is like, I have three kids who are daily reminders that I am aging at a just ridiculous pace, and that kicked it into overdrive. I do want to know, though, because I think every time LeBron comes back, there is a chorus of people wondering, could this be his last ride in Cleveland? How much of a chance do you think that this is LeBron's final game in front of these Cleveland fans in Cleveland?
I mean, we shouldn't rule out the possibility, because obviously when you're in a fight against Father Time, sometimes things are out of your control, and I'm not going to say more than that, you know, but someone can knock on wood, even suggesting the thought, but I don't believe it will be his last. I think if LeBron has everything go his way, he's playing at least one more season, if not more, as we see how Bryce, his second son, matriculates in his senior year of high school coming up, followed by whatever he does in his post-high school year, whether it be college ball, whether it be, you know, semi-pro, whatever, before you'd be eligible to be an NBA player. But I mean, listen, even if he does play next year, or even if he plays two more years, like, unless we're talking about the Lakers and Cavs in the NBA Finals, there's like one, two, or three more games LeBron ever plays in Cleveland. So it's a big deal. And, you know, he was feeling a little under the weather over the weekend, didn't play all that well in Phoenix the other night. He decided to stay back and not join the team at shoot-around, I'm told, basically just to power up so he can have more energy to put on the show tonight.
Dave, along those lines, I've just kind of always been under the impression that when LeBron is going to call it quits, and if it's going to be his last game in Cleveland, like, he's going to let us know. Like, that seems like the type of person he would be in terms of making, you know, doing the retirement tour type thing. Do you subscribe to that same belief that he's going to make that clear and it's not going to be this mystery when he comes back to Cleveland?
Yes, I think that'll be the case. But that's why I just led into it with, if it's his plan, right? Sometimes
yeah, true.
Plans are taken out of your hands. But, yeah, I certainly believe that we'll have all the pomp and circumstance of a retirement tour whenever that comes, right? And, like, hey, Kobe's last season, he didn't announce till about a third of the way into the year. So, you know, and then obviously there was a retirement tour that continued till the end of the regular season with Kobe. So, I mean, he could announce midstream, right, versus announcing before day one of the regular season. That said, I don't think this is going to be his last year in the NBA.
All right, so with that, it's Bronny's first game in the NBA. We saw him game one for, I believe, two whole minutes. It's Cleveland. You think we're going to see the kid tonight?
I think so, right? I'm told that Bronny has no expectation of playing if his number's called upon. He's going to be ready, and he's been mentally preparing himself for this moment. and you know, something he looks forward to. Obviously, he has all those memories of going up and play in the Cavs auxiliary gym up in the attic of the Q while the Cavs were playing the real game, and Bronny going up against Richard Jefferson's kids and other Cavs players' kids having their own game while the Cavs were playing playoff games and NBA Finals games. I think the big kind of clue here is Bronny, I reported with Sham Shanaria last week, he's going to be playing for the Lakers G League team when that season starts at the end of this road trip on November 7th. There are other young players on the Lakers, Jalen Hood-Schifino, Maxwell Lewis, who are also going to be playing on the G League team. They are not on this road trip. They're back in L.A. prepping for the G League season. Bronny's on this road trip. Why bring him if you're not going to play him? I'm not saying it'd be a ton of time, but play him some spot minutes tonight with LeBron in Cleveland.
Dave McMenamin joining us on the show. It's obviously been a while, Dave, since you watched this team more regularly and covered them on a daily basis. But as you sort of survey this current state of the Cavaliers and the Eastern Conference and the NBA at large, what do you think is a realistic expectation that fans should have for this Cavs team in 2024-25?
I think it's a realistic view of this group that they could be the third best team in the East, get the number three seed. Behind, I think Boston's to be the runaway, and the Knicks, I would put them above them. But the way the Sixers have started their year, just a complete mess. And Milwaukee certainly doesn't look like they've figured things out under Doc Rivers yet. And then, you know, the Pacers, I know they made the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago. That they, you know, they have a nice team, but I would put the Cavs stacked above them, regardless, even if they didn't have this 4-0 start. So I think that should be a realistic goal for them. And, you know, the beauty of your, if you get the three seed, you know, you can avoid playing the Boston Celtics in the second round if you get through your first round opponent, you know, and maybe not have to play the Celtics until the conference finals. The Cavs team, they have, you know, arguably the second best starting five in basketball after the Celtics. And when you have guys like, you know, Ty Jerome all of a sudden putting up 10 points on 62% shooting, two steals and three assists off the bench, adding to the likes of, you know, guys like Max Strus and other high-level role players this team had already developed last year, there's a lot to like there. And Kenny Atkinson seems to have, you know, the ear of this group. I think they're only going to get better as the year goes on, quite frankly.
Dave McMenamin of ESPN on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, you know, from the LeBron perspective, the Lakers start 3-1. There is the first round pick who had a really great couple moments here. I know Austin Reeves is coming back. Obviously, it looks like this team is pretty healthy here. What are realistic expectations for that team, even with LeBron, AD, and maybe an improved roster in a loaded West?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you got to start with LeBron and AD. If they can give you the 70-plus games that they did last year, now you have a starting point where you can talk about this team making some noise in the West. And you're going to need then the continued attention to detail that they've shown under J.J. Redick. You know, very little slippage. You know, they can shoot 5-for-32 from three in game one against the Wolves, but they're still exerting the defensive effort that JJ's asking them to do and not letting the disappointment of missing shots seep into their play on the other end. You're going to need the continued development of Dalton Connect. Obviously, Austin Reeves has looked like a borderline all-star to begin this year. Hopefully, you find a bit of a rhythm that D'Angelo Russell showed in the second half of last year. Rui Hachimura has been incredible to start the year thus far. And then you hope that the nights when Anthony Davis gets in foul trouble, because it's going to happen, or if he has to miss time because of injury, Jackson Hayes is a good enough option at their backup center. I think that's kind of their weakest position right now when you look at their roster. Is, you know, Jackson Hayes is a rim-running big with great athleticism, but not the best hands or the best sense and feel of the game. That's a position, quite frankly, they got to upgrade in. I know they have Christian Wood coming back from an injury, but you can't rely on him either, in my estimation. And so Rob Pelinka has his work cut out for them to get the roster better for them to be able to make the next level. And then I think a guy that you look at as being a swing piece for them, should they get into the playoffs and be facing one of these teams that have an elite wing player as their primary option, whether it be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with OKC, whether it be Luka Doncic, Anthony Edwards right on down the list in the Western Conference, is Jared Vanderbilt. Can he be the disruptive defensive force that he was en route to the Lakers making the Western Conference Finals that first year when they acquired him? Or will these foot injuries that basically sabotaged his year last year continue to linger into this year? But you know, the West is so packed tight, and I'd say basically from, you know, I think you put OKC and Minnesota as the class of the conference, and then you're going 3 through 10 basically where it's a coin flip to me. And so that means, hey, if the Lakers have things line up for them, they could be that third seed, but I can see them back in the play-in tournament again.
Dave, a lot was said over the summer about the Lakers choosing to hire J.J. Redick as their next head coach, both good and bad. What have the early returns been for the Lakers' new head coach?
It was unconventional, right? And you go from J.J. having 8 podcast episodes with LeBron James to being one of the initial, like, 3 candidates that they interview for the job. Yeah, it seems strange on its face. But yeah, I've known J.J. for a while. Both, I covered him as a player. We overlapped at ESPN, obviously. I can't say I knew him all that well, though. Like, we just would talk here and there in scrums or whatever, being at a game. Being around him day-to-day, he's so committed to everything that basketball brings, whether it being X's and O's guys, whether that being putting in the extra time. Like, he's so meticulous where he basically has like a Excel spreadsheet where he makes sure that he communicates with every single player on the Lakers roster on a daily basis, one-on-one. So he doesn't start to have division in the locker room. So he doesn't start to have resentment or lose a guy if they're not playing, right? Because it's a long season. He's got to keep people like Cam Reddish and Christian Wood, et cetera, engaged for the times when other guys are resting or other guys are hurt, and you're going to need them to play. And keeping them mentally stimulated is a part of his plan, and you see it. And then you see the care factor. I mean, he looked like he was staring lasers into my forehead when I was talking to him post-game in Phoenix about what happened when they blew an 18-point lead. It wasn't because he was mad at my question. He was mad at himself that he was not able to get his group to execute well enough to win a game and be 4-0. So I think, you know, when you're talking about a team like the Lakers, their built-in advantage back in the day was they had deeper pockets in ownership. Jerry Buss was willing to pay the 1-to-1 penalty tax, and they have the beautiful location of Southern California. Well, they still got beautiful Southern California, but the Lakers, with the new CBA, they don't have any advantage over other teams when it comes to paying their talent. And quite frankly, they have much more shallow pockets than a lot of the ownership groups out there, including Dan Gilbert of the Cavs. They're not billionaires. You know, their family are millionaires. That their main business is the mom and pop shop of the Lakers. So how do you create an advantage there? You get a cutting edge coach who understands what it is to be a modern NBA player, who has interviewed every NBA superstar and budding superstar over the last 4 years and has relationships with them. So when it comes to time, them being free agents down the line, he already has established some sort of rapport that he can use when the Lakers need to recruit these guys. It was a smart play. And I think it's going to work out with J.J. Redick.
Dave, I think it's working out for you, buddy. You're great, as always. Glad to have you back in town, even more so than Bronny, I'll be honest.
Well, that means a lot, fellas. But, yeah, hopefully Bronny gets a great moment tonight. I'll tell you this. Like, he's got a long way to go as a basketball player. For a 20-year-old kid, he's dynamite. He has no sense of pretentiousness, no sense of, was born on third and thought he hit a triple. He works hard. He treats people the right way. So he's someone that I think NBA fans will root for.
We love to hear that. Dave, be good, buddy. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Dave McMenamin there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When we come back, it's time for the 5 at 5 on 92.3 The Fan.